Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is
Let's
an online
get ready to
for
rumble.
The Mission of Church multiplication. We're not spending the first 5 minutes talking about wrestling.
I just want to get that out of the way.
Okay. So here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I am here with Hulk Hogan, Ed Stetzer.
That makes you Andre the Giant in this illustration.
Well, wouldn't you rather be Hulk Hogan than Andre the Giant? So.
Yeah, well, that's true. Andre the Giant, man, he was like in Princess Bride, which is perhaps the height of cinematic brilliance in the last century. He says this one line: "I don't trust people in masks." I love that. So never trust someone in a mask or something like that. That is ultimate. Now we're gonna talk about Princess Bride, which is
The Princess Bride is just
It is truly. Now you watch that with your children, right?
I haven't yet. I'm still trying to figure out. It's like, are they okay?
There's things in there that you have forgotten.
Yes.
And will surprise you. Because I was like, oh, well, I didn't remember that in the movie. So, and my daughter, I watched it. She watched it too young. And she was afraid of rodents of unusual size for a very long time.
Well, but you just have those lines, right? As you wish.
As you wish. Exactly. Okay. Oh, my gosh. That's so hilarious.
All right. So
all right, back to work.
Yeah. So what we're doing is a little mini series on the COVID-19 era and what it means to be the church and staff and multiply and all that. So we're going to keep on going until the cows come home, perhaps. But today, if you haven't listened to 547, episode 549.
Prime number. Not a prime number.
Is 551 a prime number?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I'm doing it off my head.
How do you do that off your head?
I don't know. It's actually 551 is not a prime number, so I'm wrong. But 547 is obviously a prime number. 551, what's it divisible by?
You know, like I tell people just how you pretty much, this is a compliment. When I speak about Ed Stetzer to other people, the thing that I usually say when they're like, what is he like? And I'm like, the guy is like, he has an encyclopedia in his brain, the amount of stuff that he knows. And that was like, that's great, right? Because it's facts and all. I didn't put you out to be a mathematician. Like,
well, actually, I was wrong. I was wrong, though, because it turns out 551 is divisible by 19 and 29. So
know 19 and 29 while they're on the multiplication table. I'm Asian and I don't know that.
I don't know how to respond to that.
You don't have to. I can go up to 12 pretty fast, though.
That's good.
All right. So, yeah. So 547, 549, we talk about what it means to be the church in a COVID-19 era. Lots of quotables, lots of foundational talk there. So what we're going to be doing on this episode is talk about staffing, how to staff for a new church plant in a COVID-19 era. So we know, Ed, as you and I are connected to a ton of denominational leaders in church planting, we know when COVID hit, there's a lot of pausing that happened with funding and planting. And it wasn't the pausing of church plants that were already on the way to plant. It was kind of the pausing of assessment and the pausing of the new ones. Not every denomination, but there are many that did that pause. Well, I mean, no one knew we were going to still be in COVID December. So there's this sense where, okay, yeah, where there's a lot of great news about vaccine and man, if you had stocks, that was awesome when Pfizer announced.
I know.
Like a month ago.
I bought Zoom right after the shutdown. So that didn't go so well. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that either way.
Right. So, I mean, there's this sense where it's like, oh, we're still in it. And there's a lot of speculation about when and how long. So it seems that a lot of denominations and networks and churches are just like, you know, we're just going to go. We're in a COVID-19 era, so we're going to go. So for all the new church plants that are listening in, church plants and new church plants that are listening in, I guess the question is, should we staff differently than what we talk about in planting missional churches, right? And we're not going to outline everything we talk about there, because we talk about the launch team and different positions and systems and ministries that you need to have and different ways to staff in that manner. But I guess the question is, in light of the fact that we're in a COVID-19 era, how should we staff and should we staff differently?
Yeah. And the answer, I think for a lot of, I mean, just to be honest, is we're still guessing.
Yeah.
We think so, you know, and we, but at the end of the day, I mean, the people are figuring that out as they go.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for us not to forget. So what I think we're seeing is that we are seeing a hesitation among many to step into a new staffing experience, a hesitation to start hiring somebody or some things of that sort. And I think that's probably a good thing. It's not a bad thing to take a few moments and to say, maybe we shouldn't rush ahead with this right now. And maybe we could take longer with empowering lay people that, we don't like to use that word much, but let's use it for here. Empowering lay people mm-hmm. at a greater level to be more effective in ministry and mission. Matter of fact, one of the things we've seen during the pandemic is just how much God's people have stepped up, stepped out, stood in the gap, and made a difference. So let's not rush to a higher level of staffing. Let's see if we can, how long we can go with, and the answer could be forever, depending upon your model, but how long we can go without adding additional staff. I think one of the things, you know, we just had that Canadian conversation, Jeff Christofferson at Outreach, Outreach Canada, is that the role that he's
Church
taking
Planning
there?
Canada.
Church Planning Canada, mm-hmm. That's right. You know, and we were part of that conversation and, you know, just the rise of bivocationalism. We've been saying that for so long, but times like this, you're going to find more and more people are going to be not even staffing themselves as the staff member there. And let's not forget, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, we had over 1 million downloads at the New Churches podcast. There are hundreds and hundreds of people who are listening to this while they're working somewhere else, while they're doing a job that accomplishes good and important work, and they're church planting as volunteers or part-time. So I would say the first thing we're hearing is a downward pressure on the number of FTEs that are there. The second thing is of course the technology question is we're dealing with where the most important person in the life of the church, maybe in the beginning of last year, was the tech leader. And that is suddenly, you know, this position and the volunteers associated with it becomes very key. So that's become a key area as well. I would say too that one of the things we're reminding of again is how important organizational leaders are. When you can't have access to people, one-on-one ministry, too many, I would say that, I want to say this super nicely because I do believe that pastors should do hands-on ministry, but most pastors in most churches, we don't hire to do hands-on ministry. We hire to empower all God's people to do hands-on ministry.
Well, that's how it should be.
It's what it should be. And with exceptions, and yes, pastors should be involved in some of that. And there are certain kinds of ministries that would only be that. We get all of those things. So what I would say is this is an opportunity to see just how much of an equipping leader are you really? Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate question.
So. Yes. So we've talked a lot. I mean, this is episode 551. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. But we have talked a lot about leadership pipeline and what that looks like. And just to give an example, at my local church, I mean, we, at the beginning of COVID, were talking, man, people are time rich, right? They're time rich. They might be resource, not resource poor, but resource unsure. There's a lot of time rich. So it was fascinating to see how many people in our church family wanted to give of their time and wanted to just, we did a round of calling everyone in our church family, put some parameters around it. And there are so many lay volunteers and elders and individuals who wanted to do that and just talked about how meaningful it is. And we're still seeing the fruit that has come out of just that one. We only did it one time, but the amount of fruit that came out of just equipping our church to be a part of that. So there's a lot of past episodes on leadership pipeline, on developing that if you don't have a leadership pipeline, now is the best time to develop one. But I guess I want to narrow this question in just a little bit. And Ed, I know you did. I know you did a doctorate, and you did your PhD. And I think it was your doctorate that you did the growth barriers, right? You studied growth barrier.
No,
or was it
in neither of those places? Thanks for keeping up with my my education. No, I don't think so. I don't think, I mean, I guess the closest thing I did in my DMin is I talked about a growth barrier we were going through. So in order to allow you to save face, I will say, yes,
okay. I did. Well, I know you did too, once. Right? I know there's, yes. there's that. Okay. So anyways, all that to say, you do have a course on breaking barriers too, right? I know that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. The mission group course. Yes, I do. That's group. What you were thinking yes. about. It's almost as good as a doctoral dissertation, the course we did on that.
Okay. Yes. So here's the question I want to ask. Do you, in this season right now, right, when it's still a level of uncertainty and you're like, man, there's so many opportunities, so much opportunity. Should we be on the offensive? Like, should we staff for hopeful growth? Or should we wait till the growth comes or till we're pinching and then stuff like, yes. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Kind of.
So typically I'm a 50% staff guy. In other words, I think that if I can fund 50% of this person and I'm doing this for a growing situation, that we can grow the other 50% in the next year. So that's typically where I would say in a church plant that, you know, we can take that risk and that forward thinking to do that. I would not be at that place today.
Okay.
I would actually be in, because there's just too much question. There's too much volatility. If we have a, you know, another shutdown, you know, we're, you know, in the U.S., you know, we've had an election and assuming a transition. And, you know, if we have a shutdown in January, that would have, you know, total shutdown like we did in the beginning of 2020, that would have significant economic ramifications for all of us. I mean, people, you know, it's not sustainable jobs. There are too many jobs that are required a more open economy. And so the answer is I would be a little more cautious. Now, again, people might have different opinions. And listen, if the Lord's leading you to do this, and if there's need and opportunity, I'm all for all of those things. Don't overread into my, but right now the advice I'm giving churches is to be a little more cautious about how they're staffing. There's no hurry. And I recognize that that means a lot of people right now who would want to be serving in ministry roles might have to wait a season. But I just think it's better to think this through and kind of ride this out a little while longer. We just don't know what we don't know.
For sure. For sure. So can you just super practically, if pastors listening to this, they see there how much money is coming in every week on offering. What do you mean by 50%? And would you, would the ratio be or the percentage be now? And you know, given the fact that there's still uncertainty.
Let me be about the 50%. So let's say my church plant is, we plant a church, we are running 150 people, and we want to bring on somebody who does small groups and assimilation. And we look at the budget and we say, you know, we could probably come up with half the person's salary. I think it's worth saying, let's move some things around so that we can go ahead and fully fund this person's salary, knowing that they're going to help produce growth that actually helps us to get to the other side of it. We need to be fully transparent with them that we had to move some other budget items around. In other words, if we don't have enough to hire somebody, we have half of enough to hire somebody, and we're in a normal, healthy situation, church plants growing and more, then I think it's okay to say, let's bring that person on, fully disclose to them. You're moving some budget things around, and it's got to work. I mean, basically, we need to see growth from this position to sustain this position. As a church planner, I'm unapologetic to say to somebody, I basically cast my whole life and my whole lot at this, and I'm asking you to do the same. Mm. So that's what I mean by the having 50% and then grow into the next year to cover the other 50%, moving some budget things around to make that possible. I would just say I would be not as bullish on doing that in 2020 or early 2021, because I am putting other people's lives at risk. Their livelihoods, better word, not their lives. They're not going to die, but I am putting other people at risk if we aren't careful in just making certain that we don't like say, hey, we have financial things, and then we have this collapse. I mean, let's just remember cautiously March and April. We followed the budget numbers, and everyone's giving, not everyone, the vast majority went down. Some of them went down half. Mm. Now, because of the PPP Act here in the States and equivalents in Canada, and, you know, the economic, everyone, the shock didn't stay. I think ultimately we have to be careful to make sure that we have a sustainable financial system. And I think it doesn't mean you don't hire people. You can and should hire people, but you got to be careful about how to do that right now.
Yeah, man, that's incredibly helpful. And obviously, you got to look at how the industries, major industries are doing where you are locally too, geographically, because that is going to add, that's another layer as well. And I mean, even for me in Alberta, right? Let's say, I know Kenny, who is our premier here, and nationally too, they're like, okay, will the Democratic Party support the Keystone Pipeline? And I mean, because there's a lot of jobs. So even just, I just think not only nationally, but just for my province and how oil funds so much of what's going on here, like what will happen, right? So there's
it's a perfect example of elections having such consequences. Because those of you who don't know, Republicans have supported the Keystone Pipeline. Democrats have tend not to. Mm-hmm. And that has huge implications financially for where Daniel is.
Yes, massively. Yeah. All right. So thank you again for listening into the New Churches podcast. We're going to keep on going. We have a couple more topics that we want to hit on the following episodes, every other episode that I'm with Ed. So if you have other topics that you want us to do a mini series on, just send that in. You can go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, or if you're on your phone, just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. All right, we'll catch you next time.